You're listening to the Puck Authority Podcast, your go-to source for all things hockey.
Welcome to the Puck Authority Podcast. This is episode 38. And on this week's episode, I'm really pleased to be joined by one of our newest writers, and that is David Landsman. David, thank you so much for doing this, especially on such a big day for Montreal sports. So, you know, thanks for joining.
It's a pleasure to be here, man. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, it's totally my pleasure. So, you know, let's start with the biggest news of the day. At about, I don't know, 9 a.m. roughly, we learned of the firings of head coach Claude Julien and assistant coach Kirk Muller. And I think a lot of us can say that, you know, we saw this coming after, you know, three back-to-back-to-back losses this past weekend to Toronto and Ottawa. And it sounded as if, you know, yesterday was really the final straw for Julien, at least. Muller maybe a little bit surprised, but at the same time, 1 for 25 on the power play, not so great. So give me your initial reaction, which you already kind of gave me off the record, just as for, you know, how you process this information.
Well, I mean, it was definitely a shock. I mean, we knew that the play of the Canadians of late was pretty abysmal. You know, going only 2 wins in the last 8 games, it's pretty hard to fathom, especially when 3 of those losses came against the Ottawa Senators. But I found out the news like everyone else right before 9, got a message from the Habs, Habs app, and said that they were let go. And it was just a bit of a shock to trying to process it, and like, you know, saying that I guess it was his time. I mean, it was their time. It was more so like the shock was not necessarily Julien. We knew he was treading on water very much, but it was tough for Muller to see Muller go. You know, I mean, he's a guy who really does want to win and he does try his best. Unfortunately, their special teams of late was also abysmal. Pretty horrible, actually. So, yeah, it was tough.
It was tough. But I think, you know, what's nice despite hearing this news is that none of the reaction, at least online this morning, was good. Get rid of him. Go. It was more, you know, he's such a good guy, good coach. Just, you know, bad time. We'll miss him. Best of luck. And I think that was really nice. But now we turn to someone who has long been in the QMJHL as a coach. And now that's Dominique Ducharme taking over as the interim head coach of the Canadiens. So he's been with the team for the last 4 years after spending lots of time between Halifax and the Drummondville Voltigeurs. So give me your impression of Ducharme and, you know, what you, I guess, liked from the work that he's done with the Canadiens so far.
I think he's brought a good asset to the team. I mean, you touched on it. I do believe Julien is one of the top coaches in the league. So I do wish him the best of luck. I mean, was it his time? Possibly. But will he be missed? Yes. I mean, he does have a cup under his belt, and he does have many years of great experience between Boston and Montreal. For Ducharme, I think he's a guy who will bring a lot of experience, but also I think he'll be more connected to the team in the sense that he is closer in age, which, like, I mean, I said this earlier in my thing, like, age may not play a number, but it does when you think about the young players coming up, Romanov and Mete and Kotkaniemi. These people are young and they need someone that has been there. You know, I mean, he's only 47. So, I mean, he's a guy who's got a lot of experience, and also he's got experience in high levels in terms of when he was with the Q, he led them to championships. When he was also Team Canada, he was the coach. You know, he's won at the highest of levels in the junior level. So what's not to say he can't bring it to the NHL level? It would be an interesting challenge to see him at the NHL level because he's never done it before.
Right, but I think that's what I want to touch on next is where you mentioned that, you know, he's been long in the QMJHL with Team Canada, the QMJHL All-Stars, OHL All-Stars, Canada U20. He's got a great resume and he knows how to work with young players. And the Montreal Canadiens, while they're still very much mixed, they're trying to, you know, turn the corner into kind of a younger looking hockey club. And again, you mentioned a name or two like Alexander Romanov, then along with him is just very Kotkaniemi. And I spoke with a colleague who said to me, I think it was last night or yesterday, that, you know, Kotkaniemi hasn't been developed properly and says, you know, maybe when Julian is gone, and then, you know, only to find out that this morning it happened, KK will finally get that chance to develop into a player that, you know, we know that he can be, because he was slumping. He was sent back home to Finland. Then he was sent down to the Rocket. And it, you know, it hasn't exactly worked out well for him. He scored a goal a couple days ago, but it was his first in like, I don't know, 9-10 games. There's been something missing there. So I think that's going to be a real key asset moving forward.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think it's going to be a nice adjustment, because it's not fair to a kid like Kotkaniemi. I mean, he's 20. He's a third overall pick. He's not, you know, he's not a third rounder. He's not a fourth rounder. He's a third overall pick. So that's someone who's supposed to stand out, you know, and like in recent years, third overall picks have done pretty well for themselves. I mean, like overall, if you look at the last 10 years, give or take, but for him to be sent to Finland, sent to the Rocket, it's not fair. Like you said, to get him to juggle back and forth, it's not consistent. And that's one thing that the Habs have been lacking as of late, is consistency.
Yeah, and we saw that the last three games, with a loss on Saturday night to the Toronto Maple Leafs, and then the next night to the Ottawa Senators, and then they played last night after a night off in Ottawa again. Both of those games went to overtime, and it was the little things that I think were really being counted on. Mark Bergevin was there. He saw what was going on firsthand, and, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, while they were able to, you know, keep it tight, it's the little details that aren't working out for them, and then never mind that ref call certainly didn't help matters, as a goal from Philippe Deneau got pulled back, saying first with Brendan Gallagher's, and then saying there's no goal at all after a little bit of a hit to Murray, which actually didn't knock him out of position, unlike what others are saying. So, you know, while that certainly, you know, didn't help, adding a third straight L to the board, I think was really the final straw for Julien in his 5-year coaching tenure with the Canadiens.
Yep, I'd have to agree. I mean, you know, It's one thing when you lose to the top team and you put up a fight. Saturday, they put up that fight as best as they could against a team that is, their offense is way too potent. Like Toronto's offense, Marner and Matthews, Thornton, you go through their lineup, they are stacked. Tavares, they're stacked with power.
And to lose only 5-3 against the likes of Matthews, who's averaging a goal a game this season, Marner, who's top 5 in the NHL scoring, Thornton and his leadership, Tavares, who's a former first overall pick. These are guys that you really have to shut down. And they did actually a pretty good job of shutting down some of them. I'm going to say Matthews and Marner, maybe not, but so yeah, but that was a strike. And then when you lose two back to back in extra time against the lowly Ottawa Senators, who have only won 6 games this year, but 3 of them come at the mercy of the Habs. That was the wake up call that Bergevin was just like, well, you know, enough is enough. Like, that's it. 3 strikes, you're out.
Right, and that's exactly what happens. So now as a result of that, again, Dominique Ducharme takes over as the interim head coach, and his press conference was at 3 o'clock at the Bell Centre. And I'm just going to read off a couple of things noted from that conference from John Liu of TSN, Dan Robertson, also TSN, Arpon Basu from the Athletic Montreal, Athletic Montreal, where he said, anything that doesn't help the group, I don't tolerate that. And then it was also noted, Dominique Ducharme, on his appointment as interim head coach, said, it was a long road for me. I didn't take the highway. I took the side roads, being the QMJHL and the long tenure that he spent there. And then with that, John Liu notes that Ducharme will meet with the players tonight, but did not disclose what message he plans to relay. Obviously a hard day for the players and staff of the Montreal Canadiens. He says they're humans and they care for both the Julien and Muller. Who now take on whatever their next adventure holds for them. But a new chapter had to be written for the Montreal Canadiens. And I think Mark Bergevin, what's nice about this connection with Ducharme is they both have the same mindset. And not to say that Julien and Muller didn't have the same mindset, as in let's win, it's how to get to that winning point. And I think that's something that's going to carry them. So again, two more notes. Eric Engel said, if the bar is too high, we're in the wrong sport. Talking about the expectations, the Canadiens will make the playoffs and go far. And then last but not least, there was Basu saying that Ducharme said he was proud of the fact that he took the side roads to getting to the head coaching point. So, you know, again, we've talked about his resume and, you know, how that's gotten him to this point. But you know, what is it you're looking for now if you're and you are a fan, you know, wanting to see your, you know, hometown team get to a certain point, being the playoffs?
Well, obviously I want to see them win. Like, I mean, I think everyone wants their team to win. That's a no-brainer. But I want to see the chemistry get back to where it once was. You know, at the beginning of the year, yes, we were playing teams that were, you know, we did not expect much of Vancouver, no offense, Canucks fans, but going into this year, we weren't expecting a highlight year. So for us to start the year riding a hot streak against teams like Vancouver and going, like, you know, one regulation loss in the first 10, we won't need to get back to that level. And I'm not saying we're going to get to that level per se, but I mean, that consistency of putting up a good 60-minute effort every night to have all four lines actually clicking, because there was really good chemistry at the beginning of the year. All the lines knew how to work. In the last few games, it's disappeared. It's been like a Houdini vanishing act. The special teams have been nowhere to be found. You know, like, I mean, we used to be a team that, like, they'd be like, oh man, the Habs are on the penalty kill. Oh no. But it'd be more like the other team saying, oh no, because they're score shorthanded. Now it's like, whenever we get a power, whenever we get a penalty against us, we're just like, oh, there goes a goal for the other team. You know, like, because of the fact that they have, their systems have failed them. And unfortunately, that was Mueller's undoing, but it was also a team's undoing too. You know, it takes a team to fail. It doesn't take just, you know, a coach.
Right. And something else that I think became really noticeable, especially last night, was the choices of who they use both in overtime as well as in the shootout. You notice that Ben Chiarot was present on both. And then as well, you notice Jonathan Drouin on the shootout. Meanwhile, where are the young guys that you can use, like Alexander Romanov, just to name one? You know, I probably wouldn't put KK if it were my choice, but certainly just, you know, younger presences, or you know, Shea Weber, who I think was in the shootout, but didn't notice him much in the overtime period, at least from my opinion. But you know, I think there's something to be said for, again, trying to rewrite systems and get things right, and that's kind of where they have to go next. So with that, you're currently working on a piece on kind of, you know, what's impressed you and what hasn't thus far into the season. So do you want to kind of give a preview into that, especially I think now is as good a time as any to kind of look at the future of the Canadiens?
Sure. I mean, this was, keep in mind, I started writing this article last night prior to the firing of this morning. But one thing that has definitely stood out to me as a big impressive, like, yay, is the play of the new guys. You know, like, all the new guys have really stepped up, and usually it takes a while for a new player to adjust to a new team, especially a team like Montreal, where media is mad for, like, you know, drilling the people, especially if they're not Quebecois. Forget it. But, you know, they've stepped into their roles. I mean, right now we used to have, like, you know, a guy like Tyler Toffoli, who, you know, last year, after his entire career with LA, winning a cup with them in 2014, getting shipped off at the trade deadline after posting 18 goals in 50-something games, you know, and then going to Vancouver and getting 6 goals, 10 points in 10 games with them, only to be let go because they couldn't afford him. You know, he is a guy who right now is 12 goals in his team's 19 games, no, 18 games, sorry, 12 goals in 18 games. You know, he's tied with Brock Besser, who's a top line forward for the Canucks. He's one behind Connor McDavid. That says enough. And then obviously they're the people behind Austin Matthews, who's averaging a goal a game on a ridiculous tear. He's impressed me. I mean, he's a guy, it sucks though, because if you look at the dynamics, he's gotten 5 of those 12 goals in 2 games in the beginning of the year, but at the same time, he's still playing every night. He still comes to play every night. Another one is Josh Anderson. You know, when the Habs shipped off Domi, I know that a lot of people were upset. I have a few friends who were really like, why would they trade Domi? I mean, he's the best. He loved in Montreal. The thing is, they don't understand the business. A lot of people can maybe love being in the city, but if they're not working with the city in terms of the team, they don't have a place. And Domi's numbers dwindled, and he was an expense that they just shipped him off. We took on Anderson. It was a gamble, I will say that. He was brought in. He had only 1 goal last year in 26 games because he was injured. but he's a guy who prior to that year had 27 goals. You know, also he has a physical presence. He is a big body, you know, a big body up front, which is something we have been lacking. A top six guy who is big up front. You know, when you have Gallagher up front, I love Gallagher. Gallagher is I think, probably my favorite Hab. Well, second favorite Hab. I'll leave my first favorite Hab a little side note. But, yeah, you know, getting that big presence who will, you know, hit. But he's not a hitter in terms of he does not want to get drop penalties. He wants to hit to protect his team. Anyways, he's really stood out. Then there's the play of Joel Edmondson back end. He's helped the team. You know, he's brought his wealth of experience on the back end. He's complimenting Petrie well and that little their duo. And then you have Jake Allen. You know, I mean, he was brought in. He was turned to be the odd. You can't hear me?
Continue.
Okay. Binnington, like, you know, took over as number one. And then Allen was just like, okay, well, I got to find myself a place. He's got played Montreal before, so coming here, he's took on the backup role and he took it with pride. You know, he knew he's coming in as a backup. He did not know he knew he was not a number one. And then, like in the last game he played, the game on Sunday against Ottawa. I mean, the two goals he let in regulation were bad bounces that just like caught him off guard and blinded him. He didn't know where the puck was until it was behind him. You know, there's a floater for the first one, and then there's the flip in the air. And then it's behind him for the second. And then the overtime winner, that was a bad bank off a skate. And went like, so he went into one position and then it went up. So yeah, they've definitely impressed me. The play of Suzuki has stood out also. You know, he's a stud, a real big stud. I'm really happy we have him. So those are things that have impressed me. Now for the things that haven't really impressed me. Sorry guys. Carey Price hasn't really impressed me. You know, I may have his jersey right there, but he hasn't impressed me. Like this year, unfortunately, he's not putting up those numbers that he did when he was an MVP back in 2014-15. But also the fact is that like we don't expect him to get to that point again because obviously he's getting older. But it's just like his numbers speak for themselves. Sometimes he lets in goals that you're just questioning, like, is this really supposed to be the best goal in the world? You know, like last night's game against Ottawa, the Tkachuk, his second goal of the game to tie it at 4. I just like was like, I'm not a goalie. I suck at being in goal when I played street hockey as a kid. But whoa, that hurts. So yeah, that's been a bit of a disappointment. A bit of a shock, not necessarily a disappointment, but a shock would be the play of Philip Deneau. You know, he's gone, like, I think he's at 36, 37 games without a goal, something like that. You know, he hasn't gotten one this year. Now, I know he's more of a playmaker, and I give him that, that's for sure. But the fact that he hasn't scored at all this year is kind of like, what? You know, like, he's a former first overall pick as well, first round pick as well. But, but he's still playing good. That's the thing that's tough. He's still having good games. He's still playmaking. He's just not finding the back of the net himself. So, Romanov, I think, was thrown into the lineup way too young, way too soon. I think he should have developed a bit more in Laval before coming to the Habs. But, again, I'm not a general manager. I'm not a coach. I'm not a scout. I am but an amateur, like, writer, if you can call it that. So I'm not a professional, but those are some of my takeaways from what I've seen through 18.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll touch on, you know, Philip Deneau only because his first goal of the season would have been last night had it been actually allowed. And that's a long time to go without a goal. And he's been, you know, one of the names trendy for Habs trade talks along with Victor Mete. And, you know, obviously, while nothing has come of it and Bergevin's, you know, kind of slammed the door against anyone speculating, saying, you know, this isn't happening and, you know, that's not a possibility. And, you know, something that stood out to me is that Mark Bergevin, what he tends to do is he'll say this isn't happening or that's not a possibility. And then within, I don't know, a couple of weeks, a month, he'll do it. So And that kind of catches people off guard. So I guess with that, do you expect Danault, if this kind of thing, you know, continues to be what we see, do you expect him to be on the trade block?
For Danault?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a hot commodity. By the way, also side note, happy birthday, Phil Danault. Sorry that we're roasting you right now. I know it's your birthday, but hey, sorry. I just literally looked up the stats just before, just like as you were speaking. His last goal came literally almost a full calendar year away. It was February 29th, 2020. And before that, we're going to January 15th, 2020. That's tough. But yeah, no, I can see him being on the trade block, and I totally understand where they stand with that. The tricky part is that when this off season, I remember there was a lot of scrutiny between him and Suzuki. You know, I remember him, Danault, publicly saying that he was upset that he was not the number one center. You know, and then Suzuki comes out and does the thing he does, and then Danault does the thing he does. Like, I mean, it really showcased who was the number one center, who is the number one center.
Right. And then with that, another player to mention is Victor Mete, who we discussed off the record yesterday, and you know, about his future in Montreal. And you know, it seems as if he was, you know, very lost this season. The first 8 games he did not play under some agreement he made with Claude Julien, saying you're going to be scratched a lot. And Mete just, you know, as a hockey player, just kept his head down and said, okay. And you know, well, I don't love that. You know, there's a lot of there was more trade talk, I should say, with the potential hoax deal that went that was surfaced on Twitter, saying that Sam Bennett would be a good return piece for Mete. And then at one point, Joey Vendetta of the Fan 590 here in Toronto said it was a done deal. So, anyways, long story short, it's not. But do you consider Mete as a piece to stay put? Because look, Bergevin has since addressed it, saying he's not going anywhere. But then again, Bergevin is known for doing things, you know, when none of us expected him to. And you know, again, I don't know what Ducharme's plan is, but you know, is Mete a long-term piece here?
He is definitely a piece that you can put together in a package. Because I think if you were to get his return just for him individually, you would probably get nothing more than a third round pick, fourth round pick. He is a guy who is, you know, he's a Team Canada, former Team Canada member. He is a kid who's got a lot of upsides. Unfortunately, like he's got his speed has slowed down over the last year. And unfortunately, his size, he's 5'9". For a defenseman, it's tough to be 5'9". You know, like, I mean, to be the little guy behind chasing after like the big body or protecting from the net, you know, you have a comparison to him and Chara, 6'9", 5'9". But yeah, no, I think it was really unfair of what Bergevin was doing to keep like shuffling the lineup, and he's still shuffling the lineup. Oh, sorry, not Bergevin. It was actually mostly it was Julien, but it was not really fair for them to shuffle the lineup every day, you know. And like, I mean, yes, it's a good thing that we have those extra bodies if we want to, but playing the revolving door with players like Mete, players like Romanov, players like Kulak, players who have really established themselves as actual NHLers. Well, Romanov, the jury's still hung. He's looking good, but he's not looking great. Yeah, it's tough to see this revolving door so that they can't even have that consistency. You know, like Mete, for example, can play, I don't know, I don't remember, but Saturday he plays, Sunday he's scratched. It's like, okay, well, I was expecting to play, but okay. But yet, like you said, he has to hold his head up high, not down, and say, yes, coach, I agree, yes, and do what he's told, because if not, he can request a trade, or he can just, you know, sit, but then nobody wants to take on a person who does that. It's tough. You know, I mean, like, I mean, I'm not a pro. I've never played any pro hockey whatsoever, but I know that like it must feel really, really tough for a guy like him. A guy who was actually touted as like a, you know, an up and comer when he was a rookie a few years ago, to now be told you're just going to be scratched just 3 games, like 3 years into his career.
Right. So I do expect changes to be made with Montreal and not exactly from a trade perspective, but obviously there are things that now have to focus on, and that includes getting everyone into the lineup. And enough with this, you know, Brett Kulak, Victor Mete, one night switch, one night in, one night out. It's, you know, enough of that to me. I'm like, you know, Victor Mete deserves more ice time than he's been given this year. And yeah, that was more Julien's fault than anyone else being Bergevin. I mean, look, he's a head coach. He was making the calls, and it wasn't the right move. And early on as well, Alexander Romanov was also one of the three being swapped off on a nightly basis. And we're seeing the lack of use of the younger guys, such as Romanov, KK, who is slowly developing. And I say very slowly because we're not seeing him being used properly. So I do hope that, Ducharme starts to, figure this out now that he's kind of got the reins here. And something else he said is that he was talking about the importance of analytics, dominating possession, and being more offensive, which is his thing. He's more of an offensive presence kind of coach. And then with that, he also said during his conference this afternoon, so during the Julien era, the Canadians had the 26th ranked PP in the NHL and the 29th ranked PK. Now, that wasn't everything, but the continued inability to fix either of those things obviously was huge. And, you know, again, now with my comment saying that Ducharme is very offensive-minded, he wants to fix those numbers. And so what do you think it's going to take? Because, again, we're looking at the roster and we're looking at things that can be, but what do you think are the key elements here?
Well, I mean, for one thing, you have to stop depending on one or two players only to get the power play, for the power play to work. One thing that I've commented, and I've commented to you off the record, I've commented to on my side, one thing that I know that the Habs have done as of late, well, as the last few years, is depend on Shea Weber for the power play. And I'm not talking like depend on him to like get the play going. I'm talking depend on him to score, to set it up. Everything. You know, Shea Weber is 36 right now. 35. He's 35. Yeah, he's 35. But to depend on a guy like him who, yes, he is a proven leader. He is like, we're in the sea for a reason. But for him to, you know, every time there's a Habs power play, I mean, like, it's just, it used to be the dump and chase mentality. That used to be the olden day, the olden strategy. And it worked to some effect. But now it's just like, they pass it back to Weber, he'll shoot. Pass it back to Weber, he'll shoot. And occasionally when they switch lines, pass it back to Petrie, he'll shoot. You know, like, I mean, there's something to say, like, yes, they both have powerful shots. Weber obviously has the upper edge. But you can't just depend on that. You got to have a system going. I mean, one thing that I've talked about on my side also, when you have a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning, for example, I'm going to use them as an example. When they're at full health, you will have Stamkos, their captain, in the slot. It's not even a question. That's where he is. That is his office on a power play. Then on this in the front of the net, blocking the goalie or distracting the goalie is Brayden Point. He's on point. See what he did there. Then on the other side, when he's healthy, when he's playing, who's not this year, but is Kucherov. And then on the back end, you have Hedman and a revolving set of defensemen. To be able to cycle that way. So for example, we're going to play a hypothetical situation. Your team is defending a power play against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Stamkos shoots, he misses. Or the goalie saves it. There's a jump and rebound, Point taps it. Or Stamkos sees it like clear open Kucherov, he sends it cross ice. And they have enough vision and enough capabilities to do that. Montreal doesn't. Montreal does not have that superstar of Stamkos or Kucherov. They do not have the superstars of Drysdale and McDavid, Marner and Matthews. You know, we have some good players, but we don't have elite players. You know, and like we have a player that if he gets in front of the net, you can 75%, 80% chance you're going to have a goal refused because it's Gallagher and because he's interfering with the goalie. You know, it's really tough. It's really tough to see. And then when you have one of their better penalty killers being scratched the last couple of games, well, that doesn't really affect the team. That doesn't really help the team in their morale, especially the player, you know, being scratched for the first time in his career, I believe. That's a healthy scratch. Lekkonen bites. He's got two shorthanded goals this year. We could use him on the penalty kill. No, no, no. We're going to put him in the press box. Is that okay for you? For me, that doesn't make sense.
Right. So it's calls like that that I continue to think of being problematic. And, you know, because this isn't going to help a team who could actually use skill like that. And this team wasn't getting anywhere. And hence, that's why MB finally figured it out and said, all right, had enough. Let's reshape and figure this out. Because Julien, more than anything, you know, it was not only chemistry, it was no longer chemistry either. It was, you know, everything else. It was his decisions. And I mean, if you're going to put him in the press box, you know, what are you doing? So it's things like that that continue to ponder me. Now, you also mentioned, you know, elite players. And, you know, I think some to some degree in the past, at least, have thought of Jeff Petry as being one of those, but another one being Tomas Tatar. So give me your impression of what you see in a player like that.
Which one, Tatar or Petry?
Tatar.
I think he's tuna delicious. No, I think he's honestly a guy who's underrated for what he can bring to the table. I think he's a guy who really could help the team. In the long scheme of things, he's actually someone who could help also both power play, both penalty kill, 5-on-5. He's actually a consistent player. Unfortunately, this year he has not gotten the minutes to prove himself. And when he's been asked to prove himself, unfortunately, he hasn't. Which has put him also a target on his back. You know, like he's potential trade bait as well. Do I want to see him go like most Habs? No, I don't. But, you know, like he's a guy who has the potential of helping lead the team. I mean, he's actually, it's scary to think, but he's actually one of the older guys on the team. You know, in recent years, like you were talking about that Bergevin likes to pull the plug on trades that like, which come out of left field or signings that come out of left field. I think honestly, for the first time in many years, I can remember, and I've been a Habs fan for few years, we'll say, we're going on 3 decades, but for the first time in a long time, they went out on the free agency and they went to get youth. They did not get washed up players, and that was huge. You know, like they went out and got, you know, you got Anderson, who's 26, you got Toffoli, who's 28, you got Edmondson, who I believe is also 28, 29. You know, like you're bringing in that youth core to help them lead to the future. So that was huge. And then Tatar, who is actually 30, which makes him seem so old, makes me feel really old, but that's besides the point. He's a guy who can actually help lead the team with his experience. You know, he's been around the ringer. He's been to a few different teams. He's put up 20 plus goals seasons before. I'd love to see that happen again with Montreal, ideally.
Right. And because of that, you know, youthful core that you mentioned, there is optimism for the future. But with that said, I do want to take on this tweet from Ray Ferraro of TSN, a former NHLer himself, saying coach change in Montreal felt inevitable. Fast start that dove into alarming past patterns. Awful special teams and prices. Poor overall play didn't help. Message energy had to change, evident from Julien and Weber's comments after Sunday's loss. And by the way, goal should have counted last night. Now, we've discussed the goal. We've discussed a lot of key players. So with that, let's kind of get into the, you know, the misshapen players and things that are more so going wrong, as we did with Lekkonen and the lack of use there. Again, you mentioned that Carey Price, kind of a problem. He's not playing such good hockey. And Jake Allen, thank God they got him. And, you know, he's been used effectively and he's done well. But, you know, may I word it this way. As someone who has long watched the Canadiens and Carey Price has been around for a long time now, you know, you look at Price and is it finally time to get rid of him? Well, what do you make of it?
I wouldn't say get rid of him, because also you have to think in mind, his contract is huge. It kind of reminds me of the Luongo trade and the Luongo contract. It will be hard for a team to eat that up. I mean, I'm not going to say anything bad about Price in the sense that I think it's time for him to go. I think it's time for him to really feel the sense of urgency within the team. You know, he is also getting older. He's now 33. You know, and like also like he's got a great resume. You know, he's won the Vezina. He's won the Hart. He's won the Ted Lindsay. He's won the Team Canada gold, Olympic gold. But if he is to be with us, I think he has to really perform more. So I think his leash has now just gotten a whole lot shorter. That's all I can say. I mean, for a guy who's got playing $10 million a year and his numbers are not really reflective, you know, it's kind of reminiscent of the days of Scott Gomez. You know, we were paying him $7.5 million a year. They'll score 2 goals.
Right. So that being said, you know, I think it's time for goaltending coach Stefan Waite, who is staying on board, to really work with Carey Price more individually, not at, during group skates in Broussard, and, you know, figure this out and get him back to the player that he was, because he, you know, inevitably he dropped the ball. But, you know, like you said, there are teams who would struggle to take on a contract like that. And I don't believe Montreal's at the point where they want to get rid of him, but they need Carey Price to be the Carey Price he has been in the past. So with that said, also retained on the coaching staff is Luke Richardson. And then a new addition to that coaching staff is Alex Burrows, who was working alongside Joel Bouchard with the Laval Rocket at Place Belle. So this is a club with a new direction. And look, it's a shortened season, and Montreal is making their case to try and get into that playoff spot. Do you think they have what it takes, if they can turn this around quickly under Ducharme's management, to get there?
Yeah, I do. I mean, call me an optimist, but I do, because, I mean, I'm looking at the other teams in the division, and, you know, we can already count a couple of teams out without counting them out, so to speak. You know, I think we know which teams I'm talking about. Vancouver and Ottawa. But, I mean, they're like, there's definitely something to be said. Like, I think that they could qualify if they start to wake up, you know, smell the tea, smell the... What's really nice, though, about bringing in the... having Richardson stay on as coach, he's a kid who's played... He played 22 years in the NHL, I believe. You know, he knows how to play the game, and he knows the game. He has enough vision to see it. Same thing with Burrows. I just hope he doesn't bite anyone. But, I mean, he is a guy who also, he went to the Stanley Cup final in 2011. You know, he knows the game. He's played it up until just recently. And he's helped coach with Laval, and Laval's done surprisingly quite well. So it's going to be, I think they do have the potential of making it. Yeah. Yes, I do.
And I think that that experience that they can bring from their playing careers and turning that into coaching, especially with the new lifeblood of the Canadians being, you know, the youthful direction they're going in, I think that I think it's doable. I think that there's direction that will allow them to do that. And, you know, here's hoping that, you know, somewhere between now and, you know, and look, I'm not going to say a few weeks, because truth be told, it can't be a few weeks. It has to be a quick turnover if they want to survive, because these games are going by like that. So there's no time for them to waste. And that, you know, that's the reality when you're facing a shortened season like we've never faced one before in this COVID-19 pandemic. So, you know, hopefully they are able to figure this out. And, you know, hopefully with that, Carey can turn to the goaltender we once knew him to be. And, you know, with that, we'll see what happens. So their next opponent is the Winnipeg Jets. And that is a team that has now gotten Pierre-Luc Dubois, in which they traded Patrick Laine the other way. So want to talk to me now just kind of about your expectations going into this series and, you know, what it is Montreal needs to get done.
Oh, this year's like the back-to-back, you mean, the Thursday and Saturday game?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be fun because we haven't seen Winnipeg this year, like in the sense we haven't played them. So it would be a fun challenge to say, like, you know, see what's going to happen. Their team that has arguably one of the better goalies in the league. You know, I mean, it was self-shown last year with Hellebuck. But I don't know. I mean, they're an interesting team. I don't know. They can sneak under the radar. They're a really big team, I can tell you that. I mean, before they got rid of Laine, their top line was average height of 6'5". Just saying. That's huge. But like, their team is really well led. And that's the interesting thing. They have really good depth up front. Getting Dubois really does help. I mean, I like lining better, but that's just me. They have the resilience that they can put the pucks in the net. They can put up big numbers. Their defense is a bit less. Their defense had issues as of late. They have a lot of young kids on the back end. But luckily, they have the play of Hellebuck that they know that they can depend on night after night. So what do I look forward to? I look forward to exciting games, possibly high scoring, which kind of defeats the purpose of getting Carey to play Carey-like. but who knows?
So we'll be in for good hockey either ways. I mean, the optimistic side of me says so. You know, hopefully that stands true. And yeah, like you said, with Carey, that would defeat the point of Carey being Carey. I mean, if it comes to that, where you know, he needs to do what he does, fine, let's do it. Let's get back on board. And I'm going to read off one last statistic here. And that is from Sportsnet Stats, saying that the Canadians have lost 6 of their last 8 games to 4-2 after going 7-1-2 in their first 10 games. Now, that needs to turn over quickly. Again, as we've already discussed, Montreal's got to kind of get their rhythm going. Do you think this was more of a leadership problem or a chemistry problem?
I'd say chemistry. There's obviously issues with leadership, but it's also come to part of the young youthful team that we talked about earlier. You know, when I think the oldest player on the team, I think, is Carey Price. No, Shea Weber. But still, like, Shea Weber's the oldest. He's the leader. But he's not going to be around forever. So, like, other people have to learn to step up. I know that Petrie has stepped up a lot, too. So, yeah, there's the leadership. I think the leadership we don't need to worry too much about. But there's issues that do need to work on the chemistry. The chemistry, you know, when you depend on the same lines and you don't want to juggle them to see if maybe there's a different chemistry on a different line, it can affect you. You know, if you know that every single day you're going to play the same person. Like, I mean, last night was the first time I've seen, I saw Julien use Petrie and Weber on the same line in a long time. You know, like, I mean, I'm not to say that I don't want to see them playing together necessarily because of the fact that they're two offensive defensemen. We need to have one step back. But it's good to have the capacity to juggle. And you have to, like, you know, you don't know how it's going to work until you try it, right? That's the case with anything in everyday life. So I think they really do need to play around. Have some fun. You know, I mean, do we need to turn around quick? Yes. But can we afford to play around and see what works and what doesn't? Also, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're only going to know once you try it. If you find out that you put on a line that the first shift they're on, they let in a goal, and then this, you know, then the first minute in the second period, they let in another goal. Okay, well, maybe they're not the best line together. Just change it up. You have time to learn. You have 60 minutes in a game. Again, not a professional, just saying my 2 cents, but.
And like you said, you know, have fun with it. And I think that's going to be one of the biggest key takeaways moving forward, to show, you know, whether or not this team can, you know, pull this off and get back to their winning ways. And I'll read off just a short transcript from Instant Analysis brought to you by Tylenol on Sportsnet earlier today. Eric Engels told David Amber, "The energy in the room being somewhat negative, that was a huge red flag. That is what ultimately led to Julien getting fired here." And not only, it doesn't mean to come to the firing. Again, it comes to the team chemistry. If you're not, if the mood isn't right, the chemistry is not going to be right on the ice either. And so, you know, with that, here's hoping that they see it as kind of a new leaf turned and a new journey beginning, because otherwise they're not going to get where they want to be. And that is the Stanley Cup playoffs in this shortened NHL season. So with that, again, the Montreal Canadiens start their next series tomorrow in Winnipeg. So I will get the times for these two games. So they start tomorrow at 8 p.m. at the Bell MTS Place. In Winnipeg. Again, no fans for the Canadian NHL division. And then their next game after that is on Saturday, likely a 7 p.m. start time to go with Hockey Night in Canada's usual regional time. So, David, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate you taking time to provide your knowledge and insight. Like you said, you're no professional coach, scout, etc., but, you know, you nailed it. And I think that, you know, this conversation has really, you know, drilled down the facts that I think many people were really pleased with hearing, mostly from Ducharme this afternoon, is that the kind of, some of the things we focused on will be changed. And should that provide a shining light, you know, a glimmer of optimism? I mean, we can only hope so. And, you know, with that, we'll see if that comes true. So where can our listeners find you on social media?
On Twitter, I'm at MTL at the rink, all one word. Instagram, it would be at DSLANDS, DSLANDS underscore 14. And yeah, that's about it. I mean, that's where I'm just starting off. I mean, also, I'm going to have a podcast that's going to be starting to come out in the coming, well, short while, actually. It's going to be called Shooting the Shit. And it's going to be a buddy of mine and I, and we're going to be bouncing off our own Hobbs thoughts. And yeah, you can stay tuned to find that out. And once I have that link, I'll be sure to pass it along.
All right. So that will also be joining the Puck Authorities podcast network once that gets off the ground. So something to look ahead to. And with that, David also has his first piece coming in the next little while. And like, again, we discussed it earlier in today's show. David, just for the listeners out here, when can they expect to see that?
Sometime next year. No, you can see it in the next, by the end of this week, by the end of like Thursday, I'll probably have a good idea. But I mean, realistically, probably sooner than that, because I'd like to get it in before Duchamp's first game. So.
Okay. So you can look forward to Duchamp's first game again tomorrow. It goes at 8 p.m. Eastern time in Winnipeg. Love to look forward to, a new chapter begins, and for the Canadians, you know, by all means, a new beginning. So, David, thank you again. This has been episode 38 of the Puck Authority Podcast. That's David. My name is Justin. You can find me on Twitter at JustinBeanHBS. That's really about it. I don't really use anything else. At Puck31 for all your continued NHL updates and around the hockey world. David, thank you.
It's a pleasure, Justin. Thank you.